Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. At Boston Pizza, you can get a $15 lunch. It's pretty incredible. Doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main side and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less at Boston Pizza. Big show today. We're going to get in overrated, underrated. Kevin Woodley, the goalie guru, is going to join us. Landon Ferraro is going to join us. I believe he's headed to Charlotte to continue his color analysis of the Abbotsford Canucks as they head to the Calder Cup Finals. And also want to remind you about our Jays Care 50-50 draw. We continue to push towards our massive jackpot of $100,000. We've got a ways to go to get there, but still looking to and asking you to consider joining in on the Jays Care 50-50. When we get to $15,000 on the jackpot, we're going to trigger another giveaway of a Quinn Hughes autographed jersey, which we will give away here on the station, but only once we get to $15,000 on the jackpot. Half for you, half for BC Challenger Baseball, which is incredible, giving the gift of sport to many kids across the province. So get in on the 50-50 if you do so wish to. JaysCareGolf.RaffleNexus.com. What's going on, Sat?
You know, just chilling.
Yeah, I feel out of sorts a little bit today.
Why?
I don't have contacts on. For the first time at work, and I don't know how long.
So you have your glasses on. Do you feel different?
I don't know. It just feels different. It feels different because I only wear my glasses morning and night.
Do you feel self-conscious?
No, it's just weird.
I mean,
it looks just different.
You look fine.
I don't know about that. That's weird.
I mean, it's fine. it's okay. I mean, do you feel like you're just at home chilling?
Yeah.
About to watch something on TV?
I just don't know what happened. Like my eyes got really itchy and like red for a few minutes. And then I was like, okay, got to take the contacts out.
It's a no contact day.
Yeah. This was a thing today.
Free the eyes.
So we're fighting through it today. We're doing the best that we can.
Can you see? Are you okay? I can't. You're acting very weird about this.
I didn't, you know. I wasn't like hotboxing something or anything, you know. I was just I got red eyes, you know.
I'm not hot. Why would you even bring that up?
I don't know what
you did.
Did
you do something?
No.
What were you doing behind a dumpster?
I don't know. It's time for the open.
Welcome to the open.
Mom! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yeah, it's the open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is Canucks are heading out to Charlotte. The Abbotsford Canucks, of course, to get ready for Friday's game one of the Calder Cup Finals. Canucks, Abbotsford Canucks, and Charlotte Checkers. So we continue to look ahead to that. But also, things are starting to happen. Well, we think they're starting to happen. Are they starting to happen? I don't know. But we heard last night Frank Saravalli reporting that the Anaheim Ducks and New York Rangers working on a trade that would send Chris Kreider to the Anaheim Ducks. Now, as we sit here at 4:04 on Wednesday, June 11th, nearly 24 hours since the initial report went out, that trade has not been officialized, although it has been reported by multiple reporters, corroborated by multiple reporters. So discussions have gone on. It has not been officially completed, and maybe due to Chris Kreider's trade protection on this, but Anaheim, we know what their owner said, you know, when they made the Joel Quenneville hire, and they're starting to try and make their big splash this offseason, and maybe that's the first domino as they look to get back to the postseason.
Yeah, and I think for a team like the Anaheim Ducks, you do need veteran leadership. The question for them is, are you getting the right guys that can actually help you win at this stage?
First, Jacob Trouba, now potentially Chris Kreider.
But they do have a lot of really talented young players, right? And if one or two of those guys take a big leap next season, maybe the veterans are what they need to get back to the playoffs. Like, you're not winning a Stanley Cup here with Chris Kreider and Jacob Trouba, but can they get this core, the young core the Anaheim Ducks are building, to a point where they're contending for a playoff spot next season? At least being in the mix. And can these guys help those young players get over that type of hump? I think that's the best you're hoping for. We'll see ultimately what the price they have to pay to acquire Kreider if it does, you know, ultimately go down. But I think we always look at this through a Canucks lens as well. Like, what does it mean if the Anaheim Ducks are decent this year for Vancouver?
It means another team that could cause the Canucks trouble as getting back to the playoffs. You know, it's going to be... I don't think it's... not been talked about, but you know, it's not just like, hey, the Canucks got to be better and get back to the playoffs. Like, the playoff race might be even more juiced up next year, right? Like, Utah is talking about making a big splash. Anaheim, this could be the first of a couple of big moves that the Anaheim Ducks make, because they'll still have, should they get Kreider, they will still have a lot of cap space to work with. As of today, per Puckpedia, they've got $39.5 million. So
yeah,
they add $6.5 million. They still got room to add more. And, you know, like, yeah, they can still sign Mason McTavish and all their other RFAs and be able to add another big salary on top of that. This is part of the Canucks equation that you have to keep into account here. It's not just about getting better, but it's also staying better than some of the teams you were ahead of in the standings this year.
Yeah, and ultimately, the Ducks, you know, they did flirt with a playoff race a little bit this year. Then when they beat the Canucks those two games, they actually got themselves in the race. Like, there was a point where, you know, they were nipping at the Canucks' heels the final 20 games of the season in that playoff race, right? So there was somewhat, and they did play some meaningful games late in the season this year, which is something they haven't done, you know, for a while in a real way. So
they were just shy of 500, which means 10, 12, 14 points, like, uptick isn't out of the question for them.
The thing for them is they have a lot of these really nice young players, right? Troy Terry, Mason McTavish, Leo Carlson, Cutter Gauthier. Can a couple of those guys take a step and become close to point per game, consistent producers? And their back end, do you get, I mean, Jackson Lacombe, I think, really showed himself well.
He was
really good. But you still have Olin Zellweger, who skates incredibly well, but there's a lot of work he needs on his game still. And a guy like Pavel Mintikov, who's got a lot of talent. They have other guys coming too, but these guys have already shown a lot of potential at a young age, right? Can enough of those guys take a big leap next season? If they do, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. But what if they just are what they are?
Yeah.
If that happens, then you're not going to be worried about the Anaheim Ducks into the future, right? So it all hinges on this group of young players. But they are an interesting team, right? And I do kind of wonder, adding Chris Kreider to it, can a player like him who scores the way he does help a center like Leo Carlson?
Well, that's kind of the interesting thing about their roster build. They're pretty young through the middle of the ice, right? You've got Carlson, who was great at the World Championships for Sweden. You've got Mason McTavish. Maybe they move on from Zegras, but who knows? Like, you got Carlson and McTavish, who you drafted really high and look to be players you can build around. And they've surrounded them with some veteran wing talent, especially if they add Chris Kreider here. And a lot of reports have them being players for potentially Mitch Marner as well. So it's a really interesting team. Pat Verbeek, like, you know, the price is reported to be a prospect that they drafted in the second round not too long ago and another second round pick. That is reported to be the trade return that the Rangers would get for Chris Kreider. So they're not paying nothing to get Chris Kreider. They are still giving them... essentially, I guess you would say the equivalent of 2 second-round picks. Is that prospect still worth a second-round pick? Probably not, but we'll say it's 2 second-round picks for Chris Kreider, because that's probably how the Rangers would sell it. And that's not an insignificant price to pay. And I wonder if, you know, we look at the trade market, and once this goes down, does this start to set the dominoes off for the rest of the trade market? Like, hey, we've got a baseline of what things are going to cost here on the trade market. Sat's already laughing because he's like, yeah, no, it's not happening. I don't know what to tell you, Reach.
Yeah, I mean.
Are the floodgates going to open on the trade market now, Sat? I've been waiting.
I hope so.
The combine's gone.
Yeah.
They said there would be trades.
Yeah.
They said there would be talks.
People say a lot of things.
Yeah.
Actions are what matters, but the actions haven't happened quite yet.
No.
So, I do think though we're getting close though. Like we're getting close to trading season.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the final sign of it. And I think what it does also indicate is as much as the NHL doesn't want you to make trades, say on the day of a game or during a, you know, Stanley Cup final game, for instance, I don't think anybody's against things happening in off days.
No.
So you're allowed to make trades.
I mean,
Linus
Allmark
right
got traded during, like, ahead of game seven.
Right.
Last
even
year.
So things happen, right? And sometimes you can't really control things when they come together and you just have to kind of strike or whatever. But you can make trades. And I know people are wondering what the Canucks are going to do and whether the reason the Canucks haven't made a trade is because they have players in Abbotsford who are in the playoff race that they may need to use in trades. And perhaps that plays a part into it. But whether it's, I don't think it's so much the Kreider deal happening, opening the floodgates. It's just we're getting to that time. We're now less than, what, 3 weeks away?
From the draft.
Well, two and a half weeks from the draft. And we're, what, 3.5 weeks away from the start of free agency.
It's one thing we do know. Like, the Rangers are a team that wants to do stuff. They were heavily reported to be one of the buzzier teams at the Combine last week. And so they're trying to get work done. Still very much up for debate if Chris Drury is making the right moves, pulling the right strings with this New York Rangers team. But you can't knock a guy for trying to pull some strings, I guess. It's also being reported, and we're getting tweets coming in from Dylan, who's alerting us to thoughts of Larry Brooks, who said that Alexis Lafreniere has come up in several trade conversations this past week, which he's talked about in the New York Post. And Lafreniere's been a name that we've talked about for, oh, I don't know how long, like a few years now. Obviously, the connection with Emily Castonguay, Canucks AGM, formerly the agent of Alexis Lafreniere. My question is, if the Rangers are going to get Kreider's number off the books, do they really need to move Lafreniere open up space elsewhere?
I'm not sure. And, you know, not to take anything away from, I think it's the NHL Rumor Report who tweeted it out. I looked at the latest article that Larry Brooks had, and I didn't see anything about Lafreniere
being available.
That's not to say that he's not, right? But I think he's a guy that obviously could be available for the right price. And I think we've spoken to people about it, right? And so I wouldn't be surprised. But to your point, now that they've moved Kreider, or let's say are soon to move Kreider, do they really need to move Lafreniere?
It really doesn't feel like it.
And it
feels like Lafreniere's been more of a pipe dream than anything else.
And if you, and you know, to be fair, let's say Brooks said what he said, his name coming up in trade talks doesn't mean the Rangers are going to trade him.
No.
Teams can call and ask, right?
Yep.
And I'm sure they're listening for the right price. If you're Vancouver, what can Vancouver do to get Lafreniere? Like, for what New York is looking for?
Honestly,
doesn't align, right?
Yeah. I guess you could give them futures, but and then they would
give
use
Hito
those.
Back?
Yeah.
Get him Hito and a pick back?
Maybe they could use those futures to go out and get something else. But, like, again, this is the idea of a hockey trade for the Canucks. It's like, well, are you giving up Elias Pettersson for that player?
And
Connor Garland,
down.
You know, like,
yeah, Pettersson, trade him back so he can play with JT in New York. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no GM is building a Lafreniere trade around Connor Garland as part of the return. Right?
Yeah, unless there's a prospect the Canucks have that they love, and if the Canucks pair that in a pick and they love that again, like, as much as we're sitting here and saying, you know, the Canucks don't have a lot of assets.
Yeah,
they don't, but they do have one asset that every single team wants. Well, actually, two. And that's young defensemen.
Yeah.
Guys that are projected to either be a good left-hand defenseman or right-hand defenseman. One's Tom Bjelander, the other is DPD. It's just, do the Canucks have the appetite to move those guys, ultimately?
It's, to me, it doesn't make sense for the Rangers to move Lafreniere.
It makes more sense for them, especially after the coaching change.
Yeah.
And making a doing a shakeup to see if...
if it works.
Yeah,
you're a similar spot to like what Elias Pettersson is to the Vancouver Canucks. Like, is your best bet to see if this player can figure it out, or if you know, like, trading him is the best course of action at this point? Like, he's, as we've talked about, is a potential acquisition for the Canucks. He's big. He's fast. He's pretty skilled. That's a reason why he went number one overall. A lot of times, guys that profile more as power forwards tend to hit their stride a little bit later. He's already had a 28-goal season in the league.
Yeah.
Do you want to give up on this guy now, just as he's about to hit his peak years of 24, 25, 26, 27? Like, probably not if you're the Rangers, who's already have a pretty old core on this roster. You got Panarin, you got Zibanejad, you've added JT Miller to this group. They probably, one of the reasons I think they want to move Kreider out is they probably want to get younger, and hard to get younger when you trade away a guy who was drafted first overall just a few years ago.
Well, yeah, and then they had the whole Keandre Miller situation. They have to sort out.
Yeah.
You know, this text just came in. Mancini, Hedl, and a first. For...
That sounds like an awfully familiar trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think that gets it done for Alexis Lafreniere? Can we also, I appreciate you, Sat. Like, I know Sat's a good teammate because he really downplayed the fact that I got Twittered there earlier by that, NHL rumor report.
He may have said it. I'm just saying, like, I just want to say, hey, because I didn't see, because I looked at it, I saw the tweet, I replied to it even. I'm like, yes, I hope this is true. But I looked at his latest article, and he mentions Lafreniere, but not that they're taking calls on Lafreniere.
Right.
But that's not, they also have, like, you know, some other articles from him from earlier dates that are paywalled.
Yeah.
So maybe it's mentioned there or something, or something somewhere separate. I don't know. I don't know every piece of work that Larry Brooks has done. I'm just careful now, Reed, to trust people just on Twitter without links.
I am, you know, less careful. That's
I'm just saying. I mean, how many lies do you see every day on X? Like, it's more, you see more lies than truths.
That is very, very true. There are there's lots of lying going on X or Twitter, whatever you still call it these days.
Yeah.
So,
you know, just quickly on the trade stuff, because I know, you know, that's the name. You know, we joke about Lafreniere a little bit too, right? And, you know, we've talked a lot about different things. We've spoken about Marco Rossi in the past, but his name just keeps coming back and linked back with the Canucks, right? Now, I'm still skeptical that he's going to be ultimately be the guy. But as we've discussed so often here, Reach, given how few guys are available, and we're talking about a guy like Lafreniere, and he may not even be available, do the Canucks go for the imperfect solution in Rossi? Like, do they actually take advantage of that? Let's say the cost is just the 15th overall pick.
What's so imperfect about him? He's over 20 goals each of the last 2 years. I want you to say it again.
Why are you baiting me? Why are you baiting me? But the reason I say he's imperfect is because he's not a guy that wins a lot of faceoffs, mm-hmm. and that is a guy that plays in a lot of tough situations, because that's what the Canucks have been looking for, right? The profile of player they've been after for their center has been that type of player. That doesn't mean that they don't like Rossi, right? It just means he's not going to fit all their needs. So if you bring him in, you're going to add another, you have to add another center as well. But is that still a better solution, Reach, than what else is available to you? Like, have they come to that conclusion, perhaps, that, hey, maybe all we have to trade is a draft pick for a pretty young player who has upside, and then we can help him out by then getting that defensive center that can do the dirty work.
This is the home run play. To me, that's what this is. You know, it's a pretty big boomer bust type of move. But at least, like, there's legitimate talent in Marco Rossi, legitimate production in Marco Rossi. So from Pierre LeBrun in his article at The Athletic, the Calgary Flames, the Vancouver Canucks, and the Canadiens are among the Canadian teams looking for a young number
Canadian
two center.
Teams.
But I would say among those three, the Canucks have the most interest in wild center Marco Rossi. The Flames have mild interest. They would rather get a center with more size. And I don't think the Habs are on that very much at all. So essentially saying the Canucks, of the three Canadian teams to have expressed interest in Marco Rossi, the Canucks are really the only one that have expressed serious interest.
All right.
That's the way I read what Pierre LeBrun has said.
That's interesting. You know, I'm not disputing anything that he said.
Yeah. It backs up what Michael Russo said as well, who covers the Wild and is as plugged in on the Wild as anybody out there. I guess my one trepidation is, because look, the history of this front office, Sat, is they'd prefer the player with size.
Yes. I mean, and even the guy they went after hard was Josh Norris.
Yeah.
Played in tough situations, won a lot of face-offs. Has some size.
Could do all those things.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to escape that from my mind, as much as I do feel like Marco Rossi is a legitimate opportunity for the Canucks, that in a landscape where there isn't too many legitimate opportunities for them to take. I can't get the size thing out of my brain when thinking about this from, like, would the Canucks actually do this? And that's you know, it's one thing for me to say, like, yeah, it makes sense because I like Marco Rossi, the player. Another thing for, is this actually living in reality as something that would happen? Now, it's been reported in multiple places, but my one thing would be, there's probably a potential for smoke screening here.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the case, right?
Yeah.
But again, the Canucks, I have no doubt, have checked in and do have some level of interest, right? And I will say
they
this
They check
about,
in on a lot of guys,
They do.
Too.
I will say this about Rossi, though, right? Like, and
his mentality is probably the thing that helps him overcome his size.
Yes, and I think that is something that the people who work with him closely, even in Minnesota, are very high on him for. And I do think that there are people in that organization that want to see it work out and for him to stay.
Yeah.
But it's looking like it's not going to happen.
Mm.
So, like, from what I can gather on the situation, it's not like that, you know, there's no belief in the player.
Yeah.
It's just that the value's not aligning and too much may have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because there isn't real trust anymore, I don't think, in the situation, because I don't think that Rossi is willing to sign a bridge deal, because I don't know if he trusts that he's going to keep getting the minutes in the role.
Yeah.
And if they're not paying him the big contract and he doesn't trust them to sign the bridge, where does that leave you?
Yeah. It's been made pretty obvious that he's on the trade market right now. And Bill Guerin, the only thing Bill Guerin has said, well, I'm not just going to give him away. That's the only thing Bill Guerin has said, which means he's pretty open to trading them.
Yeah, and the thing that he gets a lot of credit for as well is his mentality, how hard he works, and how driven he is. So,
he does have a little bit of a dog in him.
He does. Like, there are a lot of those factors into it, right? So it's not so much that you're getting... So I think the Canucks could see value in him as a talented player that's available.
Yeah.
And that they like the fact that he can overcome the size thing, but he's not going to be your matchup center.
Yeah.
So you still have to go find that guy, right? Like... It makes your approach to the offseason a little bit different.
A couple other things here from this LeBron article, which came out not that long ago, really 15 minutes ago. He also says on, and I know our listeners are going to love this, has a thought on Bo Horvat and Matthew Barzal from the New York Islanders.
Available?
And how Matthew Darche is going to handle his top two centermen as teams have been eager to see where things go for the Islanders with their new general manager. Could either center become available? The answer is no.
Probably no.
We told you that here on Canuck Central. Probably the new GM that goes in at with the Islanders is not going to trade their top two guys on
Probably
the
not.
Roster.
Probably not.
Now you have confirmation from an insider. And he also has this on Elias Pettersson. Never say never, but all signs point to the Canucks keeping Elias Pettersson, which is something, you know, we've all been on that page.
Yeah, and the Canucks are open to it, but it has to be them getting... a level of talent back that is commensurate with what they believe they're giving up if Pettersson figures it out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what they're looking for. And is anybody offering you that right now?
No.
Probably not.
Nobody's given you a ton to take on that contract in this moment.
What do you put the percentage on it? Like, because people are desperate around the league, I don't think it can be we can put like a 1%. It has to be more than 1%.
It's a non-zero chance. It's also more than 1%. I'm still going to say like 7%.
Seven? All right, I'll say 10.
it's very unlikely. Into the Canucks Central roundup, Mario Lemieux looking to buy back a share of the Penguins, also reported by Pierre Lebrun earlier today. So Fenway Sports Group has been rumored to want to ship off a share or part of their ownership, which they recently purchased, of the Penguins. And looks like Mario Lemieux and that group is going to maybe get back in on the Penguins.
They see the opportunity now.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we'll sign up for a rebuild.
And the Fenway group's like, yeah, we tried hockey, not our thing.
Yeah. This sucks. Why don't you guys tell us Crosby's like not going to alone take us to the promised land. Chris Knobloch saying he is undecided on his game for starter between obviously Stuart Skinner and Calvin Pickard. And TJ Oshie retired not that long ago. It was a couple of days ago. Good player. We all remember him for the shootout internationally. That was pretty incredible stuff. And just a solid player for the Washington Capitals.
Yeah,
and,
I like,
and the fountain swimming as well.
Yeah, I liked what some of the stuff he was mentioning too about his career. So
yeah,
he's a player that, I mean, when you
PNW
think
of, guy.
Yeah, when you think about how long he's been on the scene
mm-hmm.
too.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time and a lot of big international moments.
Yeah. I remember when he was just breaking into the league. I had high hopes for TJ Oshie. He didn't really work out for the St. Louis Blues, but eventually he found his way. Kale McCarr won the Norris Trophy today. It was announced. Quinn Hughes finished third behind Zach Werenski. How did Hughes get zero votes from seven PHWA members?
I mean, he missed some games this year.
That's the only argument.
Yeah, there's some guys that were pretty good this season. Do I agree with it? No. Am I aggrieved by it the way a lot of people are? Probably not.
Yeah, fair enough. Guests on Sports at 650, call in on the hotline, powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. You are listening to Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.